If you know, you know. That is, of course, Fanny Rice herself. Icon, Rachel Berry, Wendela. One of the most supremely talented actresses, I think, that is out there today. Lea Michele singing Don't Rain on My Parade from the 64th Annual Tony Awards, maybe 10, 11 years ago. And I decided to start today's episode off. By the way, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. As I enter to the mission of pop culture. Because Lea Michele finally debuted on Broadway as Fanny Rice in Funny Girl. And you guys, it's sounding and looking amazing. There's so many TikTok clips. I was going to play an excerpt of Don't Rain on My Parade because obviously people were whipped out their phones for that moment, which you're not supposed to do that in Broadway theater, but I think this was like a momentous moment, monumental moment, and momentous moment that just had to be captured. And Lea Michele sounds just as good, if not better, than ever. And it's amazing. And that's what we're going to start off with, of course. And yeah, just a deep dive. Anyways, besides, before I get into all that, I hope everybody's having a great start to the week. It's a short week, which is great. I'm actually flying to Boston today for my trip on Friday, which will be fun. Although my flight was delayed 2 hours, which kind of sucks, but at least Delta sent a 24-hour notice, so I didn't show up at the airport early. I thought it would have been okay because I would have gone and just hung out. Unless I like being at the airport. I'm somebody who actually enjoys it. I like people watching. I like going to Hennessy News. I like going into the lounge if, you know, it's open. I like, you know, just bopping around, seeing all the hustle and bustle. And I like eating at the airport, too. It's just, I don't know, for some odd reason, it's fun. But aside from that, do I have anything else? No. Oh, I finished watching one of the Spider-Man movies, the OGs, which I forgot about how amazing Kirsten Dunst was with that, in that iconic upside-down kiss, which they also, like, reenacted on the OC. If you know, you know. Iconic. So, literally living for it. But I don't have much else to share aside from that. So, without further ado, let's get into the stuff I really want to talk about. The meat and potatoes. That is, of course, six standing ovations later, Lea Michele triumphantly returns to Broadway in Funny Girl. This article is from Variety, but literally every publication is posting about this, and there are many, many tweets. Okay. It appears the weather gods didn't heed Fanny Bryce's humble request. But not even a dreary, drizzly Tuesday in Manhattan could rain on Lea Michele's parade as the former Glee star made her long-anticipated debut in Broadway's Funny Girl revival. Before Michele could sing a note in her crystalline soprano, the crowd at the August Wilson Theater leapt to its feet as soon as she appeared on stage, making it difficult to hear the show's famous opening line, "Hello, gorgeous!" She would receive six standing ovations in all. An ad popped up, crescendoing in a final rafter-shaking round of applause. It's been a long time coming for Michele, who has spent a good portion of her career unofficially campaigning to embody the incandescent comic and just all-around fabulous Fanny Bryce on stage. Her obsession with Funny Girl became lore on Glee, where her character Rachel Berry regularly belted the musical's greatest hits, including Don't Rain on My Parade and The Greatest Star in People, during the show's six seasons, a public audition tape of sorts. And the public, A-list otherwise, turned out in force. In addition to a full house of Gleeks, the audience included Michele's BFF and one-time Spring Awakening co-star Jonathan Groff, who looked positively ecstatic every time the actress was on stage, rocking back and forth rhythmically, sobbing at various points, and jumping up to lead each ovation. Her old Glee boss, Ryan Murphy, Zachary Quinto, Drew Barrymore, oh my god, Harvey Fierstein, who is a producer on the show, but by the way, you all know who Harvey is. If you don't, you should. He's the original, you do know who he is. He was in Mrs. Doubtfire. He was Robin Williams' brother. Ironically, he sung Don't Rain on My Parade with Robin Williams, you know, when he's giving him the makeover. Oh, he has a very raspy voice. Also, he was the original Edna Turnblad in Hairspray on Broadway. But I didn't know Drew Barrymore was there. That's amazing. Okay, the audience was clearly on Michelle's side, and it's unlikely she will ever perform in front of another crowd as eager to see her soar. Quote, "We're Gleek's first, human second," says 24-year-old Juliana DeAngis. "I grew up listening to Lea Michele sing Don't Rain on My Parade." She and her theater companion Fiona Castro say they each spent $250 to experience the second coming of Funny Girl. Quote, "We would have definitely spent more," Castro 24 added. "It's a moment of history given everything that has gone on with the revival. Obviously, she's referring to the fact that Beanie Feldstein, all the drama with her and leaving, blah, blah, blah. By the way, Lea Michele posted a really nice Instagram story today paying homage to all the fannies that came before her. Famously, Beanie Feldstein was first. Julie Benko, I believe is her name. She plays the understudy, and then another understudy, and then, of course, Babs herself. There have also been detractors to Michelle's grand return to Broadway. She largely stepped back from the spotlight in 2020 after former Glee co-star, I'm not even going to say her name, accused Michelle of traumatic microaggressions that fostered a toxic set. Later, Michelle later apologized for her, quote, behavior and for any pain I have caused. You guys, I mean, there's videos all over TikTok and it's going to be all over YouTube, but the emotion in Lea Michele's eyes and the gratitude when she's taking her final bow with actually the actress who plays her mother in the show, Tova Feldstein, which is great, is incredible to watch. And you can really see she is happy to be back home because Broadway's her home. She started as a little girl. And I got to say, I've always been rooting for Lea Michele. I'm not going to lie. I was heartbroken when the allegations were coming out, but I was still on her side. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to some alleged thing that, you know, because cancel culture, it's just a lot. You know what? Hate me, bad talk me, I don't care. I'm a massive Lea Michele fan. And when you have the talent rises to the top, the cream rises to the top, but Lea Michele is the voice of a generation. And she is so deserving of this. And it's amazing. So, but yeah, like obviously some shady, sneaky TikTokers are like, we're there filming the performances and putting them on online, which is, you know, not good, but hey, you know, it's amazing for someone who lives in Los Angeles and couldn't be there opening night, i.e. me and many others too. But she's got the pipes, you guys. She is just one of those very rare talents that she deserves, you know. Okay, one thought I've had since it was announced that Lea Michele was going to take over for Beanie Feldstein was if they were casting the Wicked role now, I do wonder if Lea would have been Elphaba. I mean, Cynthia Erivo is supremely talented and she's a Broadway gal as well. But I do wonder, you know, obviously it was a different time. It was a couple months ago. The Spring Awakening doc hadn't come out yet and it's almost as if like she just missed it. But oftentimes things happen for a reason. And if they remake Funny Girl into a, you know, they remade West Side Story, I think Lea Michele would be a fabulous Fanny, and that arguably would be as big of a deal as if, you know, she booked Elphaba. So you never know. Things happen that way. By the by here, I'm just on Twitter. Here are some tweets. A Ryan Murphy true crime series on Lea Michele's obsessive pursuit of the Fanny Bryce role in Funny Girl on Broadway. Funny Girl Lea Michele gets four standing ovations by intermission. Some Glee pals in the audience. Lea Michele waving goodbye as she's escorted off. Blah, blah, blah. Not even a dreary, drizzly Tuesday in Manhattan. That's the one I just read for you. E.T. posted Lea Michele's first night as Fanny Bryce was nothing short of a success. I mean, yeah, everybody's freaking out. And it's a big deal because it's like, really, Lea Michele has not performed since, I mean, I would say the Spring Awakening doc wasn't really a performance. It was a documentary. But this is her first like foray back into her craft post 2020 and that crap that went on that just was, I don't know, I can't even talk about it because it's just whatever. But our girlie's back and she was amazing. And you guys, if you get a chance to somehow go on a deep dive of Funny Girl on TikTok, if you even have TikTok, then I highly suggest you watch in its entirety Don't Random My Parade because it is spectacular. By the by, in the comments here on YouTube, there's a quote here that's famously going around circulating at the current moment. That's, she may be difficult, but boy, can she sing, which is what Kurt says about Rachel Berry, i.e. Lea Michele. And it's, you know, what a world to live in that Lea Michele, Rachel Berry, always wanted to be Babs on Glee, ended up winning the Tony for it on the show, and then, but by the way, there are whisperings that Lea Michele could be eligible to win a Tony for, because, you know, one of the very controversial things that happened was the show, when Beanie opened it, didn't get great reviews, not because of, you know, Beanie, it's just Beanie's not a Broadway girl. You have to have a belting, forceful, strong, trained voice, which Lea Michele does. And Fanny, Beanie's not a Broadway girly, and that's okay. It's just, I think it was a bit, you know, of a mixture of being miscast and obviously Lea Michele was on a different, you know, there was a different public reception of her at the time, probably when they were casting this, but all in all, I think that the Tony should seriously consider giving Lea Michele a look-see, because she deserves it. But anyways, yeah. So, love it, love it. Love to see our girly back. Okay, second story of the day. Somebody who I think the world fell in love with, Camille Vasquez, Johnny Depp's attorney. She has her next big celeb client, which is very interesting. Yellowstone actress. I actually don't watch the show Yellowstone, but I know many people do. And I was reading this on TMZ earlier today. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So I thought I would read it to you guys. Johnny Depp's attorney, Camille Vasquez, who, you know, was iconic, savage, you know, because everybody was tuning in on YouTube to watch that, like, live court channel, which is, like, so iconic. Camille was just, like, doing her thing, like, being very strong and, like, you know, making Amber quake. But, you know, I love Amber. Johnny Depp's attorney, Camille Vasquez, has another star she's representing in court, though this case has nothing to do with Amber Heard or a sour relationship. For that matter, Camille and attorney Steve Cook from Brown Rudnick LLP are set to represent actress, I don't even want to butcher the name, so I'm just going to spell it for you, Q-O-R-I-A-N-K-A, Kilcher, who's made a name for herself on the hit show Yellowstone. Kilcher was recently charged with workers' compensation insurance fraud by the state of California and has hired Camille and Steve to help her fight. Weir, as in TMZ, told both attorneys will appear for before a judge on her behalf Wednesday in L.A. As TMZ reported, Kilcher was hit with two counts of workers' comp insurance fraud earlier this year after an investigation by the California Department of Insurance. Officials say they found evidence that she improperly collected over $90,000 in disability benefits. CDOI claims she was raking in thousands over the course of 2 years, stemming from a neck injury she reported suffering back in 2018 while filming Dora and the Lost City of Gold. Oh my gosh, I never saw that. But officials claim she continued collecting disability benefits even while filming Yellowstone episodes in 2019. A source close to Kilcher tells TMZ she didn't do anything wrong, but the accident left her really messed up, leaving her 10% disabled for the rest of her life. Wow. The collection, CDOI claims, continued until 2021, and now she's up against felony charges. Camille and company say their client is innocent and plan to vigorously defend Kilcher. Camille and Steve tell TMZ, quote, "We are determined to defend Ms. Kilcher in this important case, which examines the inherent flaws in the disability compensation system. Ms. Kilcher is a well-respected and pioneering actress in Hollywood, and we intend to clear her name." Well, I'm very interested to hear how this goes, because I don't know much about that, but I love that. Obviously, it's Camille's not going to take on a client that isn't honorable and full of truth, because case in point, I think everything with Johnny Depp. So good for her. I think a lot of people were like eagerly anticipating or waiting with bated breath to see who she was going to represent next. That, you know, yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that. But anyways, that's not that. Okay, third story of the day, a little Kim and Pete news. This is from E! Online. Why Kim Kardashian says, quote, "They don't really make them like Pete Davidson anymore." Very interesting. Okay. Though Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian are no longer together, it's clear that she was one of his biggest supporters over the last year. Prior to the Kardashians' star and Saturday Night Live alums' breakup in early August, Kim gushed over her then-boyfriend during a chat with Interview Magazine. Quote, "He's a cutie," Kim, who posed in a jock strap for her cover story, said, quote, "He's literally such a good person. They don't really make him like him anymore. I'm excited. Ooh, I'm excited for what he has coming up." I'm just going to put a pin in it for 1 second and say, if they don't make him like that anymore, Kimmy, then what happened? I mean, unless, you know, school year's up, kids busy, you know, unless something with Kanye that we don't know about, but makes you wonder. Kim, 41, and Pete, 28, first started dating late 2021 after she made her hosting debut on SNL, and despite their public outings and intimate declarations throughout the relationship, sources close to the duo exclusively told E! News last month that they decided to just be friends, noting that while the two have, quote, "a lot of love and respect for each other, they have found that the long-distance dynamic and their demanding schedules," quote, "made it really difficult to maintain a relationship." Okay, well, How did Jennifer Lawrence, who is an A-list movie star, and her husband do it? Or how did, like, Meryl Streep do it with her? Like, how do all these super famous people do it? I don't know. But I love that she's, you know, giving him a positive nod, because Pete does seem like he actually is a really cool guy. And contrary to, you know, what Kanye puts out there, he seems like a precious gem of a man. Okay, this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day, because I'm honestly really tired. I don't know if I want to pay much, you know, or give much light to this, but there's been, like, these weird whisperings or, like, kind of suppressed news stories about Tom and Giselle. Giselle Bundchen and Tom Brady, obviously. Like, their marriage not doing well. I'm very interested about this, and I haven't read any blinds about it because I don't really read that much Dumois. I can't, like, my brain just can't take that much. But it is really interesting. But I'm going to read the story to you guys. And then I'm just curious. Like, what do you guys think about this? Like, they seem like one of those couples that was so steadfast, ironclad, strong. But, you know, everybody has their, you know, things. Okay. Page six.
Hold on. Hang on. Okay.
I know it's late. It's 12:51 a.m., which means it's 3:51 a.m. on the East Coast. And sissy, I'm tired. I had a full day. Okay. Giselle Bundchen and Tom Brady have not reconciled despite her return to Florida. Okay. Let me just click out of this ad. Okay. Giselle Bundchen still hasn't patched things up with Tom Brady despite her return to Florida from Costa Rica. A source told us, as in page six, Giselle isn't back with Tom. She flew back to Florida to be with her kids, but hasn't been to their home in Tampa. Quote, Tom is still hoping they can reconcile. Giselle has told him she's leaving him before, and they always made up when she cooled down. Who is, like, leaking this information? That's, like, so personal. Bundchen is believed to be staying in Miami. A source added that reports they are currently divorcing are, quote, not true, although their insiders say the couple have been headed in that direction. Page Six exclusively revealed last week that the 42-year-old supermodel had jetted to their home in Central America, in the Central American country after an, quote, epic fight with a pro football player. Sources told Page Six the fight was over the Buccaneer quarterback's shocking decision to unretire from the NFL. They had agreed he would retire to focus on the family. Then he changed his mind. An insider told Page Six there's some trouble in the marriage over his decision to unretire. Giselle's always been the one with the kids. A separate insider added the Brazilian model returned to Florida a few days later and was spotted with their kids in Miami at a water park. Bundchen and Brady, who wed in 2009, share son Benjamin, 12, and daughter Vivian, 9. Brady is also dad to 15-year-old son Jack, whom he shares, which I think is the most fascinating thing ever, with ex Bridget Monaghan, who everybody knows as Natasha from Sex and the City. And just like that, in that iconic episode. I do have to say that is really sad. You know, the falling apart of any union is very sad, and it's not something I want to read about. I recently, like... yeah, I'll say it. I recently was engaged in a small flirtation with somebody that was a recently divorced individual, and it's really interesting to hear about, like, that world, and... I never want to get married, and I've always been like that because I'm, like, way too independent and, like, way too stubborn. But yeah, I mean, I can only imagine how difficult it must be, and you're literally sinking your life to one person, unless you're one of those people who's, like, sister wives, has, like, a million, like, spouses, which is just, like, crazy. But hey, you do you, girl or boy. But anyways, I don't know if this is true, but I have been reading about it, and it's been coming, you know, these stories have been coming across my desk, so I thought I would, you know, chat about it with you out in the world. And let me know what you think about that, because I'm very curious, just a curious lad. I'm very tired, and I gotta get in bed, because I have a lot of stuff I have to do. I have to edit this, and then I have to check my email, and then I have to check my flight stuff, and then I have some TikTok stuff I have to do. Oh, it's just, like, so busy. But I express my gratitude once again for you guys for tuning into my show, The Mistress of Pop Culture. I love doing this, and I have a gay old time. It's just, like, so much fun. But without your support, I wouldn't be here, so thank you. So I hope you're all having I hope you all have a fabulous Wednesday. We'll chat soon. Gossip Girl. XOXO.